I'm excited about teaching and continuing. Really, I'm wrapping up our series today. Of course, we have marriage night, and Pastor Jonathan and Alicia will speak specifically to marriage and relationship in the marriage night on Friday night, and then Sunday we're going to let him just obey God and do what he feels to do. We'll be starting a series the following Sunday. I'm really, really excited about what's coming next and taking us through Easter. But I want to wrap up today the arithmetic of relationships, and I really feel like this series has helped us. The last few weeks, I have been accused of planting bugs in people's cars. I've been accused of hiding in bedroom closets and eavesdropping on conversations and knowing some of your private thoughts. I promise you, we don't do any of that. The Bible says that he is a wonderful counselor. He is a counselor, and the word will counsel us. It will build our lives, and it will bless our lives. And speaking of relationships, one of my covenant relationships came into the house today unexpected. I didn't know that Pastor Jason Mitchum was coming from Augusta, Georgia. He is my brother, and I'm so grateful that he's here. He's walking through quite a season and quite a storm. About 6 weeks ago, April passed. His wife of just more than 30 years, and so this has been a challenging season. Not only is he grieving, but their church is grieving, and they have a wonderful team, and his son and family are there leading today, and he just needed a break. I'm going to go see my buddy, and so I'm going to preach him into the altar today and maybe baptize him before the service is over, and we'll make sure that he leaves blessed. But I'm glad that he's in the house today. So what we've learned in the last few weeks, and it's been a great help to me personally, and you have testified that it's been a help to you, that we are not meant to do life alone, but we're also not meant to do life with everyone. I'm not meant to do life alone, but I'm not meant to do life with everyone. This is freeing, and this is helpful to many of us. And I trust that in the last few weeks you have been sorting through, maybe taking attendance in your own life, trying to figure out who is in your math class, who is a part of your destiny, who is adding to your purpose, and also who is subtracting, who is dividing. I understand they were good to me, but they are not good for me. And so I have to make some hard decisions, because I know where God is taking me, and I know what God has called me to, and I know where God is leading me, and because of discernment, not judgment, but because of discernment, not unkindness, not because I'm better than anybody, I just know there are some relationships that are not advantageous to what God is doing in my life, and so I have to say goodbye to some folk. I have to deal with this. I have to make some hard decisions, because God's call is greater than anything else in my life. God's purpose and God's mandate is more important to me than anything else. And all of that is important because those people, the people that we've been talking about the last few weeks, they are either already in your life or they are coming into your life. I have appreciated every week I've heard someone's story. I've listened to someone tell me about the adder or the subtractor or the divider that they have encountered. And just unbelievable, some of the things that we process in our relationships and some of the things that we deal with. But let me catch you up for just a moment. The four kinds of people who have come and are coming into your life, they are subtractors, or people who take strength from you. There are adders, those are people who encourage you and make you better. And then last Sunday we talked about dividers, those are people who separate you from the right people. And if you missed any of this, if today happens to be your first Sunday and you're like, I need to hear more about that, go to YouTube and get caught up and stay in sync with what God is speaking to our house. I know last Sunday we had a piece of equipment go down, and so the audio was messed up if you were online with us, and we cannot fix that. It's just best to be in person every chance that you possibly can be. And so today I want to talk to you about multipliers. Multipliers are people who provide resources to us, and they unite us with others for a common purpose. I'm probably most excited about teaching about multipliers because I get excited about this person being in my life. I understand we've had to deal with subtractors, and I realize that there are dividers that have to be sorted through, and we appreciate the adders, but multiplication hits different. Multiplication is a whole nother dynamic of arithmetic, if you will, because multiplication takes less and does more with it. Multiplication takes less talent. It takes less money. It takes less skill. It takes less education. It takes what I am and multiplies it by God. If I am deficient in an area, if I am struggling in an area, if I am lacking something in my life, when you multiply me by God. You see, last week I had to tell you that the devil is a divider, but this week I get to tell you that God is a multiplier. And we're going to talk again today about how this is twofold, because just as I want adders in my life, and I pray for God to send adders to my life, I also want to be an adder in someone else's life. The same principle. I pray that God will multiply us, but I also want to be a multiplier for someone else. So let me talk to you just a moment today about you times God. You multiplied by God. Deuteronomy 32 and 30. How can one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight? This is serious multiplication. I don't even understand the formula here. I know we got math teachers in the room that are smart. I got through it. I got by it. It was a decent grade, but I'm still not quite sure about some of it. But they say if one puts 1,000 to flight and two put 10,000 to flight, that three, according to this equation, puts 100,000 to flight. And four put 1,000,000 to flight. That is math that does not make sense to me. That is math that is way above. But that's God. His ways are above our ways. His thoughts are beyond our thoughts. He takes less and he makes it more. It doesn't make sense to me that I can give 10% of my income and somehow have more by giving something away. I'm not preaching on money today, but the principle is there. It doesn't make sense to me. That is God's economy. That is God's arithmetic. And as you're growing deeper in your relationship with God, this is what he's calling you to. He's calling you to get to a multiplication where church doesn't just add to you occasionally and the spiritual life doesn't just bless you now and again, but that you're living a life of multiplication. And it's not just you chasing the thousand, but you're connected to God and to other people that are allowing things to multiply and do this exponential growth and multiplication in your life that when you get to the end of 2023, you're looking back over your shoulder saying, you know what? 2 + 2 doesn't equal 4. 2 + 2 in my life equals 40,000. I don't know. God has just multiplied something in my life, and it's because of my relationship with him and my relationship with other people. It's you times God. It's you multiplied by God. It's your little with God's big. It's your offering with God's abundance. It's your yes with God's supernatural. Because you times God equals supernatural. I feel God in here. Somebody's going to get this today. You times God equals supernatural. See, you start thinking, oh, wait a minute. I can't accomplish anything. I am so weak. I am so frail faith. I my spirituality, it's just thimble thin. And yeah, I'm coming to church, Pastor Darrell, and I love it, but it just seems like I can't ever get any traction. I leave here so strong on Sunday, and by Monday, I'm struggling with the same temptations, and I'm having the same mental battles, and it just seems like the enemy's trying to put those shackles on my hands and feet again. Listen, the problem is that you think the only time you have God with you is when you're inside this building. The only time you feel God is when you drive onto the campus, when you leave today, when you open up the door, when you go to your car, you put on your seatbelt. You need to look over in the passenger seat and say, all right, Lord, did you get in? You got your seatbelt on? Come on, you're going to my house today. You're going with me to my job. You're going with me back into all of my relationships and my conversations and all of my business dealings and my transactions. I'm not waiting until next Sunday to feel this again. I want to feel this every single day this week. I want to live in this. I want to walk in this. I want to experience this day and night. Because you times God equals supernatural. So we have to get this vertical relationship right. Because as I've said in other messages in this series, if the vertical is not right, the horizontal doesn't stand a chance. Right. If I'm not where I need to be with God, if our relationship is not right, I'm going to struggle in every other relationship in my life. I'm going to tell you something, because I'm going to always shoot straight with you, that even if you and God are right, there's going to be some tension in the horizontal relationships as well. Because it takes two to tango. Some of y'all just had a dirty thought right there. No, all of your relationships. You may be bringing nothing but Jesus into that conversation. They may have another motive. That's why you got to have discernment. Who is this person in my life? Are they an adder? Are they a subtractor? Are they a divider? Who is this person in my life? I've got to discern to know who it is that I am connected to. So this vertical relationship affects all of the other relationships in my life. But this is where I begin. God, you and I have to make sure that we're good. And really, that's me, Lord, because I know you're good. I got to make sure that I am doing what you want me to do. Just say this, say, God, multiply me. Don't just add to me, Lord. I want you to multiply me. One of my favorite verses in all of the Bible is Deuteronomy 1 and 11. If you've never read this or never heard this, it's going to become one of your favorites as well. And may the Lord, Deuteronomy 1 and 11, it's on the screen, the God of your ancestors, multiply you 1,000 times more and bless you as he promised. It's right there in the word. He wants to multiply us. He wants to multiply us by 1,000. Say it again. Say, God, multiply me. Multiply me by 1,000. Multiply me by some great number. Not so that my name is in light somewhere. Not because of fame or fortune or some crazy motive, desire. No, I want to be able to do more for you. I want to be able to make a difference in other people's life. Lord, multiply me. Make me 1,000 times more and bless me as you promised. But while I was trying to brush up on my math this week, I started reading again about whole numbers. If you know what a whole number is, a whole number can begin at zero, actually double zero. And it can go 1, 2, 3, 4, all the way until forever. As long as there are no decimals, and as long as, key, there are no negative numbers. That's a whole number. No decimals, no negative numbers. It begs the question, what am I asking God to multiply? Am I a whole number? Am I a whole person? If I'm asking God to multiply, is that prayer going something like, Lord, bless this mess if you can? Lord, I'm going to bring a little of this, and I'm going to bring about point something of that. And I'm going to pray somehow you can multiply and make something out of my life. But your point something will not multiply. Your negative number will not multiply. 1/7 of my week will not multiply. Meaning, if I'm only giving God one day of the week, if Sunday is all I have time for, God is saying, I can't multiply that. I need you to put me first every day of your life. I need you to set aside time. Give me the best of your time and the premium and the optimal. I need you to give me the best of you so that I can multiply that. But wait a minute. If I give God the best of my time, I'm not going to have enough for everything else that is on my plate. That's where God said, no. That's when I start multiplying you, and you don't even realize how you're getting it all done. You don't realize how you're not so exhausted that you're falling in the middle of the street for a nap. No, I've multiplied you. I'm making you 1,000 times more. It feels like instead of having two hands, I've got six hands, and I'm just able to get it done. I'm able to keep all of the plates spinning. I'm able to keep it all functioning well and whole. Why? Because God has multiplied me. We need multipliers in our lives. But if I'm not wholly surrendering to God, if I'm only bringing partial honesty, if I'm only bringing partial commitment, if my interest is moody and fickle, then what should I expect from the other relationships in my life? I'm going to answer that for you. Nothing. If you're only bringing partial honesty and a little bit of commitment, you can't expect any return in the relationships of your life. Because guess what? If you're bringing partial honesty and moody interest and just a little bit of commitment, you have become someone's subtractor. I wish I had a choir to preach to, but all I got is y'all. You become someone's divider. No, Lord, wait a minute. Let me get this straight. Let me fix this. Let me throw my life on an altar and get reborn and get a reset happening in my life. And I pray that you, like me, want to be someone's adder and you want to be someone's multiplier. I pray that we can close this series and you not only desire right people in your life, but that you desire to be a right person for someone else. Because it's selfish to only pray, God bless me, but with everything you give to me, I'm just going to hoard it and hold it and keep it and save it and hide it and tuck it away, and I'm just going to hold on to it. No, he said, I've blessed you so that you can be a blessing. So let's talk about you times others. Because remember, it's not enough to just be good with God. We don't underestimate that. That is powerful and that's awesome. And you better believe it. God is the one who saves me, redeems me, forgives me. So I want to make sure that I'm good with him. But remember, his plan for your life includes people. His plan for your life includes lots of people. All my introverted people just sigh one good time for me. His plan includes people. Gonna be connected to people, because it's not good for man, it's not good for mankind to be alone. So I need to be asking myself, who are my people? Who are my people? Who are my people that are helping me get where God has called me to go? Who are my people who are helping me fulfill my purpose and God's design in my life? Who are my people? And once I know that, I invest in them. I pray with and for them. I add to them. I am added to by them, and we grow together. Because we need complete unity to accomplish the task that God has given us. There is therefore now no division. Let there be no division among us. Remember, multipliers, they provide resources to you and they unite you with others for a common purpose. Let me move quick and get where I'm going. 2 Kings chapter 7 is a powerful setting of scripture, a story that may be unknown to you, but I want to remind you of it, or maybe introduce you to it today. 2 Kings 7, beginning at verse number 3. Now there were four men. Everyone say there were four. There were four men with leprosy. Let me just pause and just teach my way through this story a little bit. Leprosy was thought to be a spiritual issue. They believed if you had leprosy, you had failed God, or you had made some mistake, you had committed some grave sin, and now leprosy was God's judgment in your life. These people were banished, obviously, because leprosy was so extremely contagious. It is a flesh-eating disease. It's vile and disgusting in every way. And so these four men have leprosy, and everyone thinks it is a spiritual thing. I don't believe that per se, because I've had spiritual leprosy before. I've had spiritual issues. I've had wrong thinking. I've had messed up motives. I've had some crazy stuff going on. But here are these four men, and they're at the entrance of the city gate. The entrance is a start, but it's not all the way inside. The entrance is a beginning, but it's not where the action is happening. Let me just say this for everybody in the room. The doors of this church are open and they're awesome. But at some point, you got to grow beyond just the entrance of the house, just the beginnings of the house. Just the first, you know, few little exciting aspects of the house, and you got to get out on the field where the action is. That's why I want you in Discover Church in two Sundays. That's why I want you in marriage night, because I don't want you just to come and be on the sidelines. God does not want you just to come and be on the sidelines. It's, hey, where is the line? I want to step over it. Where is that place of commitment and that place of selling out and that place of just giving everything that I have? That's what God is calling you to. And I promise you, if you make that commitment, if you make that choice, if you move beyond the entrance, it's going to be the greatest decision you've ever made in your life. Is there one testimony in this room that would say yes? So they're sitting at the entrance of the city gate. They say to each other, why stay here until we die? What a question. What a question. You got to understand this scene, because there is a famine in the land. And people are dying of thirst. People are dying of hunger. They are in real trouble. And so this question is totally appropriate. Why stay here until we die? If we say we'll go into the city, the famine is there, and we will die. And if we stay here, we will die. Because as is, I'm in a lose-lose situation. Doesn't matter which way I turn, I see loss. I see struggle. There's a famine that direction. There's leprosy right here where I am. It just seems like all my options are losing options. So they said, let's go over to the camp of the Arameans. That's the enemy. And surrender. We'll just go to the enemy's camp and we will surrender. If they spare us, we live. If they kill us, then we die. I just want to advise you against leaving your fate to the enemy, okay? God always has another move. Whatever despair you're living in, whatever crisis, man, I feel God in this room today. Whatever it is that you feel like you're up against and think that you have no options, God always has an option for you. I dare you to say it one more time. Say, God, multiply me. And so, At dusk, they got up and went to the camp of the Arminians. When they reached the edge of the camp, no one was there. This is odd. This is weird. This is strange. Four men have come to the enemy's camp, but the enemy is no longer there. Verse 6, for the Lord. Can I say that again? For the Lord. You times God. For the Lord had caused the Arminians to hear the sound of chariots and horses and a great army. Make sure you understand this. Four men. If they have both of their feet, because leprosy, you know. If they have their feet, that means four men, 8 feet, are stumbling their way to the enemy's camp because they're not in good health, they're not strong, they're not able-bodied, they're not well, they're weak, they're broke, busted, and disgusted, limping their way, tripping their way toward the enemy's camp. But did you hear what happened? When they got there, the enemy had scattered, they had run. They heard the sound of an army coming their direction. How does that happen? God multiplied their feet. This Baptist church don't amen real good, but God turned 8 feet into an army of 8,000. The enemy had no idea. Had they known that four leprous men were coming their way, had they known it was just four men who were weak and messed up and frail and broken, man, they would have stood there and just shot an arrow and took them out on the road. But God multiplied them. Somebody say, God, multiply me. God multiplied. God amplified. God made larger their lives. God made them 1,000 times more than they were, because that's what God wants to do in your life. He wants to take your little and make it greater. He wants to take your offering and make it an abundance. He wants to take your talent and make it enough to bless people's lives. That's who he is. He is a multiplier. He's a multiplier. Four men. Four weak, broken, scarred men with a death sentence got together in unity, and God started doing math. Ladies and gentlemen, if you and I can ever get together, if we can ever get past the division the media is trying to cram down our throats, if we can ever get past the subtraction that the enemy is using to make us weak, if we can ever get together, you're my brother, you're my sister, let me take you by the hand. If we can ever join our forces, come on, man, I see your leprosy. I see your spiritual issue. I see your crisis. I see your addiction. I see your failure. I see your struggle. But can we link arms and just start moving together toward a purpose? Can we get together? I know what you went through is different than what I went through. I know what you suffered is different than what I suffered, but can we just have God in common and just link up and start moving toward a purpose, moving toward a call, moving toward a mandate? Can I tell you that God is about to multiply? God is about to amplify the sound in this house. God is about to take a few hundred and do the work of a few thousand. Somebody needs to hear me prophesy the word of the Lord. God is about to do it. He is a multiplier. Hallelujah. I make no apology for my excitement. I make no apology for my value, because I know where I started, and I know what God called me to. I know what God wants to do. All I gotta do is say, come on, can we take a step together? Come on, can we move in unity? Come on, can we step in sync? Because God is multiplying our feet. God is multiplying. God is doing his math. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. But we've come together with one heart, because you times others equals revival. You times others equals breakthrough and life change and healing and help. Let me tell you the rest of the story. For the Lord had caused the Arminians to hear the sound of chariots, verse 6, and horses and a great army. They started as four men, but the enemy hears an army. So that they, the enemy, said to one another, look, the king of Israel has hired the Hittite and the Egyptian kings to attack us. So they got up and fled in the dusk and abandoned their tents and their horses and donkeys. They left the camp as it was and ran for their lives. Hello, somebody. God, have mercy. Can you imagine that all you have to do today is take one step towards your purpose? That all you have to do is take one step toward yes, one step toward Jesus, and he will multiply the sounds of that step, and every devil who has been fighting against you, every addiction that has been battling against you, every spirit that has been in war against you will take off running, because they hear the sound of an army coming their way. And all it is just one weak foot, just one barely having faith soul. And the enemy says, I got to go, because God is coming. Verse 8, the men who had leprosy reached the edge of the camp, entered one of the tents and ate and drank. They'd been in a famine. They were hungry. They were thirsty. Here's food. What does hinder? They ate, they drank. Then they took silver, gold, and clothes and went off and hid them. They returned and entered another tent and took some things from it and hid them also. These four men who were living a death sentence said, you know what, I'm tired of these dirty clothes. They smell. I see something in their claw. I'm going to get that. The enemy's had it long enough. The enemy has had my provision and my blessing long enough. Can we talk for just a moment about multiplied provision? What God wants to do for you in this season? The way God wants to bless you in this season, the way God wants to work in your life in this season. All I'm going to say is this one statement. What you keep is all you will ever have. But what you give away, God multiplies. What you keep is all you will ever have. We read it last week, Proverbs 11, during our generosity time. The stingy, they hold. They think they're getting rich by holding on. And he said, no, the generous, they give it away and they just keep getting more to give. Because what you keep is all you will have, but what you give, God will multiply. I dare you to apply that to every area of your life in this season. God, multiply me. Father, I pray today for people in this room, people online, hearts and heads. These are the kind of messages, Lord, that our heart feel, but our heads have to process. Because much of this is counter-cultural. Much of this is against the tide. Much of this is opposite the grain of how everyone else is growing. And yet, God, we hear you calling us, speaking to us, saying to us that you want to make us 1,000 times more than we are. Oh God, it makes me want to be as good as I can be, as strong as I can be, because it's just that much more that you're going to multiply my life. I pray today, Lord, I pray the enemy would hear the sound of our feet as we leave this service today, as we go back to our homes. Maybe there's people living there that have no interest in serving you. I pray that spiritually, as we walk up the driveway and take that turn onto the sidewalk and climb that porch, that every spirit, Lord, that thinks they are in charge would flee and run in fear, because they hear an army. They hear an army. They hear an army coming. I pray that every one of our students going to school tomorrow, facing every kind of temptation, facing every crazy thought and idea, I pray that when they get out of their vehicle, get out of their parents' vehicle, get off the bus, as they park their bike, that where the sole of their feet land on that school campus, that the enemy would scatter and run. Because they are not just 2 feet and they are not just one heart, they are an army. They are an army of faithful, believing, powerful men and women. In Jesus' name. Why don't you stand with me across the room? Thank you, Jesus. You may be in this room today. You've never given your heart to Jesus. Maybe you're in this house and you've never said yes. Maybe you're here today and it's time to make the decision. Pastor Darrell, what do I have to do? Just bring your weak, broken, scarred self. Just bring your spiritual issue having self and say, Jesus, this is all I got. And God is going to do his math. You're going to bring your ashes and he's going to give you something beautiful. You're going to bring your mourning and he's going to give you joy. It's God's math. He's going to multiply and bless. Just repent. Just pray it with me. Say, Jesus, I'm sorry for my sin. I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to change me. I ask you, Lord, to multiply me. My life is broken. My life has been a mess. But today I say yes. Today I receive you as my Lord, as my Savior. I receive your grace, your mercy, and your life change to me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Can we give Jesus praise today? Listen, if you prayed that with us today, I want to resource you. I want to put something in your hand on either side of the auditorium, these yes banners. There's a table right there that has this book called Following Jesus. If you're online with us today, if you're in the room and you want that to come to your inbox, just text the word follow to 404-777-4701. That's on the screen, in the room, and online. Make sure we get your email because that's how it's going to be delivered in just a few moments. Just put your email in that link and you'll get this book just in moments, literally, right there to your inbox. It's just a few pages, but it's next steps that will make a difference in your life. Amen.